Ooh, spooky, scary skeletons just shivers down my spine.
I don't know the rest either.
Welcome. It's the last Halloween episode of 2020.
Ooh.
Soon, Halloween will be over and I'll be sad.
Aw, but then it's Christmas time.
Yes. Sleigh bells ring.
I was going to say Christmas. Scary skeletons.
Spooky, scary reindeer.
All right.
Dude, this is stupid already. Welcome to Halloween 2020 at PCMC. It's also another edition of DCOM 101.
Woo!
And I feel like this episode has too many subtitles and shit. And on top of that, we're also going to talk about a cartoon before the movie.
Yeah. We packed it all in.
Yep. So what's the movie we're going to talk about, Jen?
Halloween Town. Halloween Town. It's so good. It's so good.
I'm excited. That's Jen Luttrell.
Hi.
You know her from this podcast, all the Disney episodes. Yeah. So, but before we get into Halloween Town, we're going to talk about the adventures of Ichabod and Mr. Toad.
Mm.
So first, right off the bat, let's just say we're not going to talk about Mr. Toad.
Poor Mr. Toad.
So the Adventures of Ichabod and Mr. Toad came out in 1949. And in the 40s, Disney was doing what they called these package films, where they would basically take a bunch of shorts or just ideas that weren't fully developed and put them together. And some of them are really messy, like The Three Caballeros.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking makes no sense. Like, that movie's insane. Like, there's nothing holding that thing together. It, like, begins with a fucking penguin cartoon, and then we're, like, in Mexico, and it just makes no sense. But this one, this is the last package film that they actually made, and this one, I think, holds together probably better than anyone, because it has the conceit of these are adaptations of classic literature.
Right.
And the first one is an English story, Mr. Toad, which is the Weeping Willows?
I believe so. I forget.
And then the second one is Ichabod, which is an American story, Washington Irving's The Legend of Sleepy Hollow.
Mm-hmm.
The Wind in the Willows by Kenneth Graham. Weeping Willows. So Ichabod, Mr. Toad has an English narrator.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually, I think, Rathbone, the guy who played Sherlock Holmes a lot. But then the American part has an American narrator, and it's fucking Bing Crosby. Bing is Bing Crosbyist.
Bing.
And he's like, hello, everybody. We're going to talk about an American story now. Let me tell you about pedagogue. He refers to Ichabod as a pedagogue 900 times. He's like,
over and over again.
This particular pedagogue is. And what's interesting, unlike Mr. Toad, where there are speaking characters, the whole 33 minutes of The Legend of Sleepy Hollow is narrated by Bing Crosby, and like Bing Crosby speaks for each character as the narrator. So like they're not like Ichabod doesn't really have his own voice. The villain Brom Bones doesn't really have his own voice. Like basically it's always Bing Crosby speaking for them.
Mm-hmm.
So Ichabod is a teacher. When we first meet him, he's walking with his head in a book. And then he lowers the book to reveal he's got a big nose.
Like a crane.
Yes. And he's new to, Sleepy Hollow.
Mm-hmm.
And he runs afoul of the Sleepy Hollow boys, a gang of day drinkers, headed up by Brom Bones, who has strong Gaston vibes.
Yeah.
Strong Gaston vibes. He's like muscular. He's a dick. He's
got a ponytail.
Yeah, he's fucking drinking.
Yep.
He's just a fucking jock. They kind of make fun of Ichabod because he's, I don't know, like a smarty guy or whatever. He's like a bit of a dandy. But Ichabod pays no mind. Ichabod fucking is a great character because he just wants to fucking read and eat. And I understand that feeling.
Yep.
He's just reading and eating. He don't give a like, that's one of his main character things is he eats.
Yeah, he won't punish the kid that has the really good lunch.
Yeah, and then you see him with his grade book, and he puts excellent. Right. He gave that kid a good grade because his mom cooked him dinner.
Right.
A fucking turkey.
Yep.
That's how it fucking works. when Ichabod first meets, the first song Brahm kind of sings, but it's not really Brahm, is the Ichabod Crane song. It's a new schoolmaster, and what's his name? Ichabod Crane. And it's all about this weird, crazy guy, Ichabod mm-hmm. Crane. And all the women love him, though.
Yeah.
He does, like, he plays piano for, like, this ladies, like, singing class, and they all, like, fawn over him.
Yep.
But all he cares about is going to eat a salad.
Yeah.
And Brahm,
it's all about the food.
Brahm, being a fucking toxic, masculine, fucking alpha, does not understand why women are drawn to the fucking smooth ways of Ichabod Crane. He don't get it. there's a scene where fucking a woman is holding pies and she comes outside and fucking Ichabod is like nods to her like, hello, ma'am. And then we see he's got a piece of pie. Like he fucking stole a piece of this woman's pie. Like,
no, she probably gave it to him.
No, it happens too fast.
Oh.
He basically pulls a fucking, he pickpockets her for pie.
You know what? Can relate.
I can relate. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying this is what he does. Ichabod also sleeps in the schoolhouse, which is fun.
Mm.
His little bed is right next to his lectern. So, we see that he dates his students' moms if they can cook.
If they can cook.
Yeah, and then he gives them good grades.
Yep.
So we meet the love interest, Katrina Van Tassel, who's the wealthy farmer's daughter, and she is a stone-cold smoke show. She's got pretty face.
Mm-hmm.
She's buxom.
Mm-hmm.
She looks, she's constantly holding a parasol.
Right.
So she gives you strong vibes of the alligator woman from the stretching room in the Haunted Mansion.
Yeah.
And I looked it up to see, like, if there is a connection, and there isn't any official connection, but a lot of people have put together, they look really alike.
Mm-hmm.
And Bing doesn't speak for her, so she kind of never speaks in it.
Yeah.
And she's a weird character because she's a stone-cold fox, and every guy likes her and wants her. And she kind of flirts with every single guy because mm-hmm. she likes them fighting over each other. Right. She's not a great representation of female. Ichabod, but here's the weird thing. Here's where Ichabod starts to become problematic. He finds her hot. But his main thing is that she's rich and he wants her money.
Right.
And her dad's money. He's like daydreaming and he's like, her dad's getting on in years. He can't take it with him.
Right.
He's like, I'm going to bag this girl. I'm going to fucking take her money, fucking run the farm with her.
Think of all the pie you could buy with that money.
I know. And by the way, I think the film does this. So when Ichabod meets his demise, we don't feel as bad.
Right.
Because if he's a total nice guy, then it's like, oh, the good guy died.
Mm-hmm.
Although they even cop out with that, which right. we'll get to. So Katrina Van Tassel, all the men try to fucking court her.
And she's throwing a party, you know? Is it she's throwing a party?
Oh, no. She's throwing a frolic.
Oh. My mistake.
She invites all the men in town to her father's annual Halloween frolic. to add some extra I don't know what to it, to get him excited, she writes on Ichabod's PS, please come.
Mm-hmm.
So Ichabod's like, I'm in. Oh, actually, before that happens, there's a scene where both Brahm and Ichabod are trying to woo her, similar to like when Popeye and Bluto would both be trying to get like olive oil. And this is crazy thing that happens where Brahm, because he doesn't know how to use his words, picks up Ichabod and like pulls his arm back like he's gonna punch him in the face. And then Katrina comes out the window and she's like, hi, and she waves, and then they both see her. So Brahm like starts like brushing off Ichabod's jacket like, we're friends. Mm-hmm. And then she goes back into the window, and then he goes and punches, but he punches a tree.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, Brahm didn't move. How did Ichabod replace himself with a tree?
Yeah.
Did he get a time machine, go back 300 years, plant a tree?
Yeah. Yeah. You figured it out.
Yeah. But no, it's fun. It is fun to see Ichabod doesn't really sweat Brahm. He's like, whatever. Yeah. I'm going to fucking do good. And
right.
It's weird. You don't know exactly who to root for
mm-hmm.
in all of this.
Mm-hmm.
So we go to the annual Halloween frolic, and Brahm is sitting alone, being a fucking, like, just being sad and being a loser. And Ichabod is having the fucking time of his life.
Yeah.
He's dancing. He's fucking taking pieces of cake off the table.
While he dances.
And eating it while he dances. Fucking Katrina's dad is, like, trying to light his pipe, and fucking Ichabod, like, fucking...
Yep.
Hits a match and gives it to him. He's fucking, he's just, Ichabod is just, he's just crushing it. He just fucking crushes. And Brahm is like, I don't understand. Why do I work out? And then she don't like me. And then we see also sitting on like the bench that Brahm's sitting on is this fat lady.
Aww.
And she like, she gives him like, I like you eyes. And Brahm's like, because she's a fat lady. And this is a Disney cartoon from the fucking 40s.
Yeah.
And so that's a big joke. But then the fat lady, like, is like, ah, and runs at him and, like, dances with him. Mm-hmm. But what's weird is I realize the fat lady looks a lot like LeFou.
Yeah, so kind of.
So there's weird, there's something there. I don't know what.
Well, that's in the remake.
Yeah, yeah, true. So it gets late, and now it's time for the scary stories. And
but also,
yeah,
Bron knows that Ichabod is superstitious.
Right. And we don't know. This is bad storytelling. We don't know it until that exact moment.
Right.
Because we see Ichabod spill some salt and then throw it over his shoulder.
Right.
That's literally happening as we hear Bing Crosby say, and Brahm knows that Ichabod is as superstitious as they come.
Yep.
So Brahm tells the story of the Headless Horseman as a song. And this is the funnest song. This is the best song. This is... when the spooks have a midnight jamboree, they break it up with fiendish glee. The ghosts are bad, but the one that's cursed is the Headless Horseman. He's the worst. You can find it on YouTube. It's fun. And while he's singing it, it's really cool animation because the room is dark and everyone's sort of in a circle around Brahm listening to him. And he's dancing around in the sort of... he's kind of backlit by the fireplace. Mm-hmm. And while he's singing, we see Ichabod is like eating still, but he's like worried and he's getting scared by the story,
mm-hmm.
which is what Brahm wants to scare him. So after that song, the frolic's over and we get to like really the scary part,
mm-hmm.
where Ichabod on his, I guess, mule.
No, it's a horse, I think. It's just a sad old horse.
Oh, okay. It's a slow moving horse.
I mean, maybe it's a mule.
Well, it's at night and he has to go through the woods.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot of music, so mm-hmm. he hears the clop 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 clop, mm-hmm. and he's worried. He's scared. It looks a lot like again, this part's really beautiful. It looks a lot like the woods from Snow White. It's very menacing. The trees look scary and a little bit anthropomorphic. There's a lot of bits of he thinks he hears or sees something. But it ends up not being anything bad. Like, he thinks the tree is like a monster with glowing eyes, but it turns out to be two fireflies that fly out.
Mm-hmm.
He hears what sounds like whispering, but then you see it's just crickets.
Mm-hmm.
There's a frog that's... what is the frog saying?
I think he says his name.
Ichabod.
One of them... Ichabod. At one point, something's like... whispers his name, and then at one point he says something else and I forget what. Is it like beware or keep going? Something like that.
Yeah. So he's freaking out, and then he hears other like clopping that sounds like hooves. Mm-hmm. So he thinks, oh no, that's a headless mm-hmm. horseman. But then he sees it's actually these plants that are just because the wind is, and by the way, Disney's so good at making wind.
Yeah.
Like going back to that early Silly Symphony where the trees are fucking in the wind, like it's little touches like that that is like Disney.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, people always talk about... Who you get nerdy about Disney for a second? People always talk about, like, the early Mickeys, and I feel like nowadays there's not enough love for, like, the Silly Symphonies.
Right.
But that stuff's really good, mm-hmm. and just really good animation. And, you have really good animation. I mean, this is one of the 40s package films, so there's some cheapness to it. I think some of the designs are a little cheap. I think Brahm kind of looks like random Disney man.
Yeah.
Ichabod's a cool design, but that's basically it for the characters.
Mm-hmm.
But this whole sequence in the woods at night, which is what we've been building to, this is the Legend of Sleepy Hollow.
Right.
This is all beautifully done. So anyway, he hears what sounds like hooves, and it ends up being a plant that the wind is hitting. The wind is hitting the plant and making the plant hit a hollow trunk. So he realizes, so Ichabod sees it and realizes that's the sound and he's not in danger. So then in his mania and out of nervousness, Ichabod starts laughing. And then his horse starts laughing with him because it's a Disney movie.
Yep.
And they're both laughing hysterically. And then in the fucking shit your pants moment, you hear the headless horseman scream. And then we see the headless horseman, and then behind him is like a, he's sort of silhouetted in this like red light. And he's got the fucking pumpkin and he's got a sword, and Ichabod is terrified and he tries to fucking cut Ichabod's head off.
I know.
He's just going for it. He's trying to murder, he's trying to decapitate somebody in a Disney cartoon.
He needs a head. They said that.
Yeah. Yeah.
They did said say that already.
Yeah. It's also weird. I was thinking about it today. It's a, it's an interesting story structure because it's like you're told something's going to happen and then that exact thing happens. But still, it's like it still works. It's not boring because you're with Ichabod feeling like, oh, well, it can't be real or whatever. It's fascinating. Also, because you're kind of like, how are they going to do this?
Yeah.
Because so far this has been a cute cartoon. How are they going to go for it? And the answer is they just fucking go for it.
Yeah. Yeah. They do.
I remember watching this as a child and being really fucking disturbed by this. It's scary.
It is. It's super spooky.
And there's a lot of bits then about Ichabod's horse goes the wrong way and then the right way. And then, you know, he, it's a lot of chasing gags.
Right.
And I guess in Brahms' song, he said something about like, if you could get over the bridge, you're safe. So he sees the bridge in the distance and Ichabod's like desperately trying to get to the bridge. And then he finally gets to the bridge and he gets over it. But then he looks back and the headless horseman throws his flaming pumpkin at Ichabod. But we see Ichabod through Ichabod's eyes first person. So the flaming pumpkin comes at us.
Yep.
And then fades out, fades to the next morning. And all you see is Ichabod's hat and the fucking smashed pumpkin. And Bing Crosby's like, no one saw old Ichabod again. And then they do this sort of cop-out thing where they're like, some people say that Ichabod moved away and had a family. And then you see, while he's saying that, you see an image of like a Ichabod and a woman and a turkey dinner. And there's like six kids and they all look like Ichabod. But I just feel like that was Disney being like, we got to give them at least the if a kid feels disturbed, we have to give that kid a mental out to be like, nah, he's alive.
Right.
Even though he's clearly fucking dead.
Right.
But then the other big bummer is Brahm and Katrina get married.
I know.
And it's like, does this woman stand for nothing?
No.
God damn it.
He's a handsome guy.
Oh, come on. He's been a dick the whole time.
But maybe he's really nice to her. You don't know.
The only thing that makes him better than Ichabod is Ichabod wanted to fuck her and take her money, and Brahm just wanted to fuck her.
Maybe that's what she's been wanting.
I don't know. She's not the best female character in the Disney canon.
I'm just saying. It's nice when someone doesn't want you for your father's money.
They just want you because you're a stone cold fox.
Right. Right.
But it's weird because Brahm tells it like it's just a legend, like it's not true. But then it actually happens.
Maybe.
I wish I knew more. I have not yet read The Legend of Sleepy Hollow. I'll eventually read it. It's on the list. So I wish I could come with a little bit more knowledge of the narrative itself and how Disney changed it. But I can't do that since I haven't read it. But it's,
it's interesting.
Yeah. There's part of you that's like, maybe it's Brahm. Maybe Brahm murders him. Maybe Brahm's the Headless Horseman. Because Brahm tells the story because he wants to freak out Ichabod.
Right.
Because he knows Ichabod's superstitious. And then Ichabod does get fucking murdered.
Maybe that, I mean, if it was Brahm and he's throwing the head, that's not going to kill him. So.
Yeah.
Maybe he just wanted to drive him out of town.
In the Tim Burton film, Katrina is played by Christina Ricci. Because of course it is.
Yeah, she only comes out at Halloween.
How could it not be? How could it not be?
She's fantastic.
Yeah. So that is the adventures of Mr. Toad. Sorry, the adventures of Ichabod and Mr. Toad from 1949. By the way, Mr. Toad's Wild Ride is not in the movie. We see him steal a car, and then we see him immediately on trial for stealing a car.
The Wild Ride
is not in the movie.
It's not a Wild Ride.
I think it is a Wild Ride, but we just don't see it.
No, for us.
You should know what you're supposed to do is bring your phone, watch the first part of the movie, then go on Wild Ride.
Yeah.
And then watch the rest of it.
Right.
And then that's how you interact with the movie.
Then fly to Disneyland.
Right. Yeah. You got to be Disneyland.
If you don't live in Anaheim.
Right. Because it's not a Disney World. Also, Disneyland is not open right now. So this plan's not going to work.
Pause it. Go on YouTube and then resume.
Jen, what are your feelings on Ichabod and Mr. Toad?
I mean, it was just scary enough for my taste. So.
Well, yeah, you should tell the audience... if they haven't guessed already, you do not like scary things.
I don't like scary things, and I don't like blood or excessive blood or pain.
Yeah, she does not watch scary movies.
No.
I got Jen to watch the original Blair Witch Project, and I picked it because there's really no gore or anything that pops out in that. It's just sort of tension.
Yeah.
And,
That ending has been upsetting me since, though.
It was hard on you. It was hard on you.
Yeah.
And I thank you for doing it.
You're welcome.
So this is like the level of this and the Boy Meets World episode with
so good.
With the fucking killer. And for some reason,
Jennifer Love Hewitt.
That's like the level of horror you can take.
That episode's so good. There's also, I know we're getting sidetracked, but there's also a Halloween episode of Family Matters with Stevel. Which I could not take.
That was too much.
And I will not ever be watching that again because it is horrifying.
Sometimes no. I'll watch a real scary movie and I'll think, this would kill Jen. Like if I showed you like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
No, I'm good.
Straight up die.
I'm okay. I'm all right.
I won't even, I'm not going to try because I don't want you to die.
I don't need a lot of, no.
What about, at what point, though, in your life, because everyone's scared of scary movies when they're kids.
Yeah.
At what point in your life were you like, this is a thing I don't do? Like, when was it solidified? Was there a sleepover party in the sixth grade where everyone was going to rent The Craft or whatever, and you were like, I'm not doing it?
Well, no, my sister watched. I feel like I used to come in on my sister, like, she was watching The Craft.
Yeah.
And then there were snake hands, and I was like, ooh, came in at the wrong time.
I assume.
I haven't watched it since. I think that's what happens.
Yeah, something like that.
And then one sleepover, which I feel like no one's ever heard of this movie, but we watched Dr. Giggles.
Oh, I remember Dr. Giggles.
It's not okay.
He was like an evil dentist.
Was he a dentist?
Yeah. Oh, no, maybe he was an anesthesiologist.
Or I don't know what he was. I don't think he was a dentist.
He was Dr. Giggles.
It was upsetting. And
yeah,
again,
that's a weird one for you to watch.
Again.
I don't think I've actually seen it myself all the way through. It was like it's not well remembered, Dr. Giggles.
I know. I mean, I could spoil the ending for you. It's like a stupid line at the end.
No. Let's not ruin Dr. Giggles for people, okay?
All right,
let's move on to the main attraction, the DCOM.
Halloween Town
from the year 1998, directed by Dwayne Dunham, starring the inimitable, the unsinkable
Debbie Reynolds.
Incredible. Jen, just tell us a little bit about your history with this film.
I saw it when it came on Disney Channel. Wasn't it like one of the first DCOMs?
I think it's either the first year or the first couple years.
Mm, yeah.
I moved my coffee cup with my foot.
Okay, all right.
But Jen heard the noise and was terrified. This is what I'm dealing with here.
It sounded like it came from the closet. Maybe it was Dr. Giggles. We don't know.
No, that was me moving my coffee cup with my foot.
All right.
Dr. Giggles is not living in my closet.
All right.
So you saw it when it first came out in 1998. How old were you?
I was 11. Yeah.
Okay.
11. Prime age for this movie.
Did you see this after Xenon and Smart House? The other
probably.
Two episodes we've done already of DCOMs?
Probably.
This is a classic one, though. This is one that people remember. It's become a Halloween classic.
Right.
Along Well, it's sort of like in the Disney canon of Halloween, it's like Nightmare Before Christmas, Hocus Pocus, and then way in third place is Halloween Town.
The whole trilogy.
That's the trilogy.
I mean,
oh, you mean the Halloween Town trilogy.
The Halloween Town trilogy.
Right, there's Halloween Town, Halloween Town 2, Calabar's Revenge.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Halloween Town
High. And then the other one where Kimberly J. Brown wasn't in. And it's like, really?
Where does that fit into the timeline?
Not my timeline.
Kimberly J. Brown is our lead character.
Yes.
She's good. She's also a TikToker now. And she's a lot of fun.
She knows what the fans want.
Yeah, she gives a lot. There's a lot of Halloween Town content.
She knows.
She also looks exactly the same that she looked when she was 12.
She has not aged.
Yeah. So the film, all right, listen, this is how we usually do these episodes. Jen talks about them with love and respect, and I make fun of them. Because the thing about DCOMs is, and this is during the Michael Eisner era where he really wanted everything to be perfect. For some reason, it was just decided that we don't give a shit about these movies, and they can just be super cheap. And it is. It's super. I mean, there's like scenes where people have like makeup on their face and then not on their neck. And it's like, what, you just gave up? Was it lunchtime and the fucking makeup guy left?
That's how they're created.
So
that's how these monsters live their lives.
So let me tell you something. Here's let me tell you right off the bat. Let me tell you what I think works in this film. Debbie Reynolds.
She's so good.
And her and the mean girl actually have good chemistry as grandmother and granddaughter.
Yeah.
And I think those two performers hold the whole thing together. And actually, I'm going to say the guy who plays Calabar is good.
I like him.
He's truly going for it.
I like him.
And he's charming and, we should say spoiler alert for 1998's Halloween Town.
Mm.
But if you haven't seen it before, what the fuck are you doing listening to this episode?
Come on. Just go watch it.
We find Calabar is the mayor of Halloween Town, and we find out he's also the villain. He's a straight up Phantom Menace, and like we see like a creepy Palpatine looking dude, and then it turns out to be Calabar.
Yeah, he is scary.
But while he's Calabar, he's charming enough that I think if you were a kid, you could be really surprised.
Yeah, no, everyone was surprised.
Everyone was surprised.
Everyone.
Yeah.
Everyone was surprised. I mean, I guess another spoiler. Everyone was surprised when they found out that the mom dated him.
Yeah.
He's cute. She could have.
Calabar?
Yeah.
The mom is the woman who I had a crush on as a child because she played April O'Neil in the very first Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Mm.
I had a crush on every April O'Neil that ever happened, I think.
Sure.
Judith Hoag? H-O-A-G. I think it's Hoag. Judith Hoag from Ninja Turtles plays the mom, which is Debbie Reynolds' daughter.
Mm-hmm. Gwen.
Yes. So we begin with ominous words. Something's coming.
No, we begin with the pumpkin.
We begin
the
with
the pumpkin goes out.
Yeah.
So Calabar's already up to something before we even know.
Okay.
Because it's the pumpkin in Halloween Town. And it was lit, and then it just blows out.
Wait, where did we see that?
In the very, very beginning. Like, the first second.
We see Halloween Town in the first second?
We don't see the Halloween Town, but that's the pumpkin. We see a jack-o'-lantern go out, and that's the pumpkin in the town square.
Oh, did not get that.
Oh.
Well, but aren't the first words spoken, somebody's coming?
Yeah.
Right, the younger sister
Sophie.
Creepily is looking out a window, and she's like, somebody's coming. Which is like, it's your grandmother. That's who's coming.
But she doesn't know that. Grandma just shows up every so often.
Yeah. By the way, what you've got going on outside, it's Halloween night.
Yeah, trick-or-treaters are out.
It's straight up E.T. level chaotic Halloween. Like only you'd see in 80s movies where there's literally thousands of children running around in costumes, throwing fucking toilet paper and screaming at the top of their lungs. Like the kind of Halloween that only exists in Halloween Town and in E.T. The music to this movie is real bad. It sounds like it's it's trying to ape the score to Pee-wee's Great Adventure, a movie you've not seen.
Nope.
Because Pee-wee scares you.
Yep, we tried.
Yeah. So what's the main girl's name again?
Marnie.
Marnie. So Marnie's our lead character, and she's with her friends, and she wants to go out trick-or-treating because it's Halloween.
Yeah.
But her mom is like, you're not going trick-or-treating. The mom's a real Disney mom. You know what I'm saying? If you're not dead, you're a bitch. Oh. And
she's protective, which I don't get why. Actually, I don't love the mom either.
Yeah, I don't get it. She's worse than Xenon's mom.
I know.
Who I've gone on record of saying I do not like it at all.
I actually think she's kind of the same as Xenon's mom. Because they both come from a world that they're rejecting.
True. True. For Xenon's mom, it's the actual world.
Earth. Right.
And for Marnie, it's the world of Halloween Town, which
she actually might be worse. Because I think Xenon's mom just, like, has germophobia.
Yeah.
She's very afraid of getting sick.
For more about Xenon, listen to our DCOM 101 Xenon episode.
Marnie's mom, I do not understand. I do not understand her.
I guess what we've got is a little bit of a Bewitched situation. Marnie's mom married a human man and has half human, half witch kids,
right,
and doesn't want her kids to be part of that world.
Right.
So she doesn't let them partake in Halloween. She tries to hide their powers from them. Right. We see her little sister Sophie, like, uses the force to make a cookie levitate because she wants a cookie, and then the mother, like, grabs the cookie before she can see it because she doesn't want the kid to know she has the force.
Yep.
Baby Yoda. She doesn't want them to. I don't know. She doesn't want them to trick or treat because.
But why?
The magic will come out.
But for what? For what?
I don't know. I really don't know.
Also, where is she? Like, why can't she go with them? Why can't she do exactly what she did with the cookie in the house? Why can't she go with them like a mother and trick or treat?
Right. It's weird because, like, she gives no reason for it. It's not like they're super religious.
No.
Or, like, she's, like, there's satanic panic going on. She's just like, you know that we do not partake in Halloween in this house. And then Marnie says a great line. I'm 13. I'm practically a grown-up, which is hilarious.
Yep.
But I'm sure the 13-year-olds watching the film were like, yeah, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we should say, both about Xenon and about Halloween Town, the 90s was big on parents suck, and kids rule, and parents drool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think about, like, the commercial for the Home Alone 2 Talk Boy.
Mm-hmm.
And, hi, kids. We're home early. Remember that creepy shit?
Yep, I do.
And it was a lot of, like, fooling your parents and make creepy crawlers and put them on your dad's glasses and fucking make him scream because he sucks. Your parents suck. They're not rad and cool. They don't wear sunglasses.
Not until the 2000s.
Right. So it's a lot of that, I think, is going on in these DCOMs.
Yeah.
It's just the your parents are the man holding you down.
Unless you're... what's it called? Unless you're Marnie's brother.
Yeah.
He sucks up hard to the mom.
Dylan. Well, their dad died.
Right.
Human dad is dead. So,
which also, I hate this mom so much. What's keeping them there then?
I don't know. She just decided at some point we are not going to be a magical family. Despite the fact that our grandmother's like the Obi-Wan Kenobi of Halloween Town.
Right.
It makes no sense.
But yeah.
So
Dylan is the man of the family now.
Yeah, that's the brother, right?
Yeah.
He's like your typical 90s nerd. He wears glasses. Yeah. He says random science facts.
I appreciate that he brought up that the razor blades and the apple was a myth.
Yeah, he was doing the You're Wrong About podcast before anyone else.
Right.
Yeah, he does suck up to the mom, and I think it's because of the dad's death.
Yeah,
like he doesn't want to upset the mom in any way.
No, yeah, he doesn't, because Marnie brings up something about, like, her dad.
They met on Halloween,
right? And that's what he said. He's like, you know, bringing up dad always bums out mom,
right? But anyway, we see a school bus.
Well, first we see a stop sign. Then we see a school stop bus sign
with
spider web on it,
so you know it's spooky. And then, for some reason, even though it's supposed to be like a bus, like a city bus, it's a yellow school bus because that's all Disney Channel could afford, I guess.
Maybe that's all Halloween Town could afford. You don't know what their revenue's like.
Fucking Debbie Reynolds should have called Michael Eisner and be like, "What the? Why the cheese bus? God damn it!"
I was in Singing in the Rain.
Do you know I was in Singing in the fucking Rain? Do you know who my daughter is? By the way, you think Carrie Fisher saw this movie ever?
Yeah, why not? No?
I don't know. I'm asking you.
Yeah.
I feel like both are very likely. If you told me, yeah, of course she saw it, I'd be like, yeah, of course. If you told me, no, she never saw it, I'd be like, yeah, that also checks out.
Yeah.
Billie Lourd has definitely seen it.
Oh, yeah. How old is she?
She's in her 20s, I think.
Oh, she's in her 20s?
Yeah.
Maybe.
She's probably definitely seen it.
Probably.
Well, it was only 2015 that her mother and grandmother died, right? So yeah. She definitely, as a kid, saw Halloween Town.
Upsetting. Probably.
Anyway, the bus comes. It's like fucking Harry Potter style. The bus flies in,
yep,
goes and down, lands. And here comes
Grandma Aggie. And her Mary Poppins bag.
Yeah, she's full Mary Poppins when we first see her.
I like that she treats her bag like a dog.
Yeah.
It's like her little puppy. Like, she pats it when it comes to her.
Right. and it follows her around.
I know.
She doesn't carry it.
I know, but if it, you know.
Right. And their name is Cromwell. They're the Cromwells. Debbie Reynolds is Aggie Cromwell. So she comes into the house, and Mom's like, oh, fuck. And Grandma Aggie's like using magic left and right.
Yeah.
Fucking blowing up spots, not even trying to hide it. She's like, no. Yeah, she takes crazy shit out of her bag. Mary Poppins style.
Like candy and a skeleton and some garlic, you know. Huge.
The kids are like, what is happening? This is magic.
No, they're not.
And also there's a weird thing of like, we haven't seen you in a while because Mom keeps them
right
from Grandma.
Yeah.
Which is fucked.
Yep.
Up.
I'm with you on this one.
Yeah. And you know, Mom's all like, we can't celebrate Halloween, and Grandma Aggie's all like, woo, it's Halloween, bitches. Let's have some candy. Boo.
But she has did you notice the candy?
No.
It's like hard grandma candy.
Fuck yeah. Delicious.
It's the kind of candy you suck on. It's grandma candy.
I'm for it. Debbie Reynolds bought it herself. She was like, I'll bring it to the set. Don't worry.
I mean, I'm not complaining. I'm just saying.
Right.
For someone that's from Halloween Town, you don't expect grandma candy.
Right.
And she comes this night especially because it's Marnie's 13th Halloween.
Which is important.
Right.
Because why?
Because if she doesn't start her training, she loses her powers forever.
Too old. Too old to start the training.
I don't get it.
It's from Empire Strikes Back.
Oh, okay. I get it.
Was I any different? That's Obi-Wan. Never mind.
All right.
By the way, Grandma Aggie's dressed like your aunt that drinks a lot of red wine.
Oh,
she's all cheap bead jewelry and fucking like shawls. So many shawls.
So many.
So many shawls.
It's not even a shawl. She has one cape.
She's very drapey.
Okay.
She's very, very
That's
drapey.
That's what witches wear.
I know. She looks like fucking Stevie Nicks Coke dealer.
All right. No one asked for that comparison.
So anyway, Mom is obviously upset that Grandma's here and not hiding it.
And giving out hieroglyphics and pentagrams.
Yeah, Grandma's fucking going full hog. And Grandma fucking takes out a kid's book that's like the story of Halloween Town with like illustrations of the children she's telling the story to. Yes.
Yeah. Yes, but no. It's got like one picture. I'm putting quotes around. Oh, well, not around picture. It is a picture of Marnie.
Yeah.
That, like, bear. I wrote this down. Like, I put cleft lip, cleft chin, maybe. Like, it doesn't look anything like her.
But the brother immediately is like, that looks like you.
Yeah, because that's his line. It doesn't look like her.
So you feel like the illustrators, they had the guy who drove the yellow bus. Like, can you draw as well? You want a second job on this movie?
The vaguest human.
All right.
I've ever seen.
All right. But within the diegetic world of the movie, it's supposed to look like her. And again, that's pretty fucking magical and over the top to be like, I'm going to read you a story that's clearly about you.
Well, she takes out the book because she starts telling them about Halloween Town. And then the brother's like, we have impressionable children. We should say that this place isn't real. And she's like, well, I don't know if it's real or not because I read it in a book. And that's when she pulls the book out.
You know, I just wanted once in the movie for Grandma Aggie to look at the brother and be like, shut the fuck up. You are killing everyone's buzz right now. And we all hate you.
Yeah.
But she doesn't.
She doesn't.
She's a class act.
She is. She is.
So the kids go to bed, but Marnie is up. She's sneaking around. And she eavesdrops on her mom and her grandma having the fight. Mm-hmm. And mom's like, no magic. And grandma's like, but she's got to start her training.
Mm-hmm. And she also needs the mom to come to Halloween Town because something bad's happening.
Right. There's some bad shit going down in Halloween Town.
She needs another Cromwell, which.
Because they're super powerful.
Yeah, they are.
They're like the Skywalkers of Halloween Town.
They are.
Or the Palpatines.
Sure.
So, the whole situation is what is it? If you don't start training by 13,
you lose your powers.
Your powers just go away.
Yeah, like your 13th Halloween should be the completion.
So, but she hasn't even started.
Right.
She doesn't even, does she know she have powers?
Yeah, because when she overhears, she goes right to Dylan and she's like, remember how all this weird stuff always happens to me? And like how, I don't know, you know. I forget what she says about herself. I know she talks about Sophie. And she's like, do you ever notice that when Sophie has a tantrum, things fly off the walls? And
Yeah.
Oh, and how she always like has deja vu. And she's like, maybe I'm just seeing the future.
Right.
So she has an inkling.
So then what happens?
Then she tells her brother. And she's like, I'm going to go follow Grandma. And he's like, well, all right, I want to make sure you don't die, so I'm going to follow you. And then they see the bus come, and they sneak on the bus, and then it goes to the portal, and then there's, like, the Frankenstein and the...
Right.
The Dracula? I don't know what he is.
There's... All right, when you get to the denizens of Halloween Town, there's some weird stuff going on, because there's some obvious things, like werewolves and stuff, but then there's, like... A fucking dog that's a cop, but like looks like a fucking English Bobby. And yeah. It's like, what? Some people have good makeup. Some people just have shitty Party City masks.
Yeah.
There's some weird stuff that it's like, what is weird stuff. There's a guy who looks like a gremlin, like straight up looks like a gremlin from the movie Gremlins on the bus.
Yeah. Is he the one that's complaining? Or he's like,
I don't remember.
They're all like complaining about how kids don't scare as easily.
Right, because I guess on Halloween, they take a fucking trip out to the real world to scare kids.
That's when the portals open, and you have until midnight to get back on the bus. Otherwise, you have to wait a whole year.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
So they end up in Halloween Town,
mm-hmm.
where it's broad daylight.
And Sophie's also sneaked on the bus.
Yeah, Sophie's just there. She's like, hey, I'm here too. And
yeah,
like,
she's okay. Creepy. She's a little creepy.
She is creepy.
She's cute. She's a little creepy.
I'm glad you said it.
And she's the one that notices the bad, that's what she calls it, the bad thing is in the pumpkin.
Yes. Right. We meet...
The mayor.
Right. Calabar.
And he pulls a lollipop out of his ear.
Yeah, he's a weirdo.
Gross.
He's a weirdo. You don't trust him around kids.
But Sophie says he takes out the lollipop from his ear and offers it to Sophie and she's like, ugh. No, thanks.
And the brother starts doing this whole bit where he's like, this must be a dream. This can't be real.
Right.
And he's got this meta commentary about him being sleeping.
Yeah.
That just goes on for way too long.
Yeah.
we meet on the street Grandma. Oh, they tell Grandma. They're like, hey, Grandma. And Grandma's like, oh, shit.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well.
Because time works differently in Halloween Town.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like however long you want it to be.
Yeah. The rules are very shaky.
Well, no, they don't meet Grandma on the street because they have to get to her house.
No, but don't we see...
We see her before she realizes that they're...
But when do they run into Harriet, Grandma's friend?
They don't. Only she does.
Oh, she does.
She runs into Harriet about the headless shelter.
Yeah, right.
Aggie goes on her merry way.
Right.
And then the kids have their interaction with Calabar, and then he calls the...
What's psychic cab. Benny the Skeleton.
Right.
Who looks like... I don't know if he's good or bad. I feel like in the proper design and proper lighting, he could have looked good.
Right.
But he's in broad daylight and he just looks like a fucking foam skeleton animatronic.
Yeah.
He's nothing compared to the skeleton cabbie from Ghostbusters, who's the original skeleton cabbie.
Yeah.
So he's like, oh, you're Cromwell's. I'll bring you to Aggie's house for no charge.
With his jokes. He's got jokes.
Oh, yeah. What did he say?
I forget.
It's all bone puns, right?
Yeah.
Don't we meet Luke now?
I was going to say, on the way, he like passes Luke and he warns the kids about.
Oh, he's like, yeah, watch out for that little scumbag.
Yeah, he's like, he got mixed up with some shadow creature.
Yeah, more like foreshadow creature. So we see we see Grandma Aggie in her house and she's making instant witch's brew, which is not a bad bit.
It's not with the microwave.
Right, yeah. She puts it in the microwave and like where the buttons would normally be and say like popcorn or whatever. It says
bubble, toil, and trouble.
Yeah, it's fun.
So when she clicks it, it's bubble, toil, and trouble.
It's fun.
Yeah.
But it doesn't work because she got to make it from scratch to get the good stuff.
Yeah, because it's instant. It's not as good.
Right.
So then she like talks about how magic works.
Yeah.
Just to like... You know.
Right, because the kids come.
Right.
The kids show up in Grandma's house.
Mm-hmm. And then she says, I forget.
Well, wait, we should say Grandma's making the witch's brew because she's trying to deal with this problem.
Right. She's trying to deal with whatever the shadow creature is doing.
Right. She can feel it?
Well, she said that people were disappearing. She said it's the mom, and the mom's like, my neighbors disappear too. It's called moving.
Right. Oh, stupid bitch. Oh, right. And then Calabar is full, like, Ministry of Magic. Like, nothing's going on. There's no shadow creature. Yeah. You're crazy, Aggie.
No,
I told you to stop saying that.
No, he doesn't say that.
He says, like...
He said, at first, I didn't believe you, but I just need 2 days to figure it out.
Right, but basically means shut your mouth.
No, I know.
For right now.
Yeah. And also her friend, who is like really super nice and bubbly, just like hisses at her on the street.
Right, she's also now looks like a weird monster.
Yeah.
Harriet got ugly in the last 2 hours.
Yeah.
And grandma's like, what's going on?
Yeah. But also while they're walking around town, she's talking about Halloween Town.
Yeah.
And I forget exactly what it was, but they were comparing stuff to human Halloween worlds. And her grandma says, like, mortal see, mortal do, which is going to be important later.
While Grandma Aggie's explaining to the kids, like, what's going on in town, she, like, shows them inside, like, of her cauldron, which is kind of like a magic ball. And we see the Palpatine, like, monster.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe I wasn't paying attention enough, but I find like what's going on in the town is kind of not as well defined as it should be.
Mm-hmm.
Like she senses things and then the pumpkin went out and then her friend's got an ugly face.
I mean,
people are disappearing.
Yeah. But like who's going to leave? How she already established that Halloween Town was set up for like the residents to be in a place where they weren't in trouble. So why would anyone leave?
I actually like that.
Yeah.
When she's explaining to the kids Halloween Town, she's like, we used to live together with normal people, but then the people got mean to us, so we got mean to them. And then they thought we were monsters. Right? They were turning us bad, so we came here so we wouldn't be bad anymore.
Right.
It's a cute... I like it. It's a cute idea.
Yeah, yeah.
Of like how, why, you know, it all works, whatever.
So like, why would anyone really leave?
Right.
Which I guess.
Right. And then she does see a Palpatine-like monster.
But it's also a small town.
Yeah.
Like, wouldn't you notice if something was going on in your small town?
You know, I have to say, Halloween Town, the actual town, is cute. But other than the pumpkin, it doesn't, I don't know, I feel like it could look better.
Yeah.
It could be... It could look more autumnal. It could be... It just kind of looks like a random city with weirdos walking around. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't... Other than the giant pumpkin, it doesn't really register as always Halloween.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's not like Halloween Town in... What's it called?
Oh, Nightmare Before Christmas.
Like, they're not preparing for a holiday. They're just living in a small town.
Where it's Halloween every day.
No, I think it's just called Halloween Town.
But then there's a...
There's a pumpkin.
Huh.
But that's just their town.
It's weird that they both have the same
square.
Name.
I know.
It's weird that there's a Halloween Town in Halloween Town and in Nightmare Before Christmas. You'd think somebody would have...
I mean, not every town has a great name. And some towns are duplicated.
Yeah, like town Halloween names. Towns. Yeah, of course.
I'm just saying.
So anyway, we're walking around Halloween Town. Grandma's explaining shit.
Oh, and then Marnie sees the brooms.
Yes.
Which, the broom name is very, like... Not very close to Harry Potter, but it's called the Windsweeper 5000.
Yeah.
And Harry's broom is a Nimbus 2000.
Yeah.
Pretty close.
Yeah. Was the first Harry Potter book out yet in
98? Yeah. I think that's the first year it came to the States.
Huh. Okay. So you heard it here, folks. Jen is accusing the writers of Halloween Town.
I didn't say that.
Of stealing from... Well, I feel like you were getting it.
I didn't say that.
I'm
just saying it was very similar.
Oh, we also learned now that Grandma Aggie's hundreds of years old.
Oh yeah,
another great reason to stay in Halloween Town.
Yeah. So what is it? What? But like, so the mom keeps the magic away from the kids, but then like is never gonna die. So when they're 80,
maybe you have to be in Halloween Town to live forever. Like maybe it's like a stasis. Like, because maybe you do then age inside, outside of Halloween Town.
Because she spent time in the mortal world.
So you think mom was just going to live hundreds of years as well?
I think so. I think that's how witches do.
Huh. Okay.
Also how it is in Harry Potter.
Sure, of course.
So then
I heard the writer of Halloween Town's also a transphobe.
Stop. Stop it.
Oh, man. What a copycat.
Stop.
That's JK's
rumors.
Thing.
Stop it.
No, I don't even know the writer of this movie.
I don't either, actually.
Oh, so all right. We're going all. We're as confused as this movie screenplay is. We have to say that she wants to. Grandma's got to make witch's brew because you need witch's brew to then power up the talisman, which is like a magic wand thing.
Right.
And then that will banish the evil spirit. Something
has to. I mean, we don't find this out until later, but that goes in the pumpkin.
Right, we don't find that out. But when they're in Halloween Town walking around, they're like, aren't they at that point looking? Oh, yeah, no, they're not looking yet for
they're
stuff.
They're trying to get ingredients.
Right, and the ingredients are vampire's fangs, a werewolf's hair, and sweat of a ghost.
Uh huh. And I feel like there's one more, but I don't know. I wrote it down somewhere. Oh no, maybe that's it. That's it.
We see that mom realize. We go back and we see mom realizes that they're gone.
Yeah.
Which makes me think that time is different in Halloween Town because it feels like for the mom, it's the very next instant
right.
from where we last saw her. But they've been in Halloween Town for a couple hours.
Right. But also after Marnie gets her broom, Grandma Aggie takes her out flying. And that's where she tells her like how magic works.
Yeah.
And she says, it's really simple that you just have to want something and then let yourself have it.
Which is weird.
Which is how...
You have to let yourself have it.
Which is how Ichabod handles pie.
Yes.
He wants something.
That's how I handle pie. So this scene should be magical and it's fucking awful because...
It is.
The person selling the brooms is like a zombie Elvis.
Oh, yeah.
And is there? There's nothing more cringeworthy than a bad Elvis impression. And I feel like 90s sitcoms and shit were full of them. Just fucking Elvis impressions. But why is he a zombie? Is he the actual Elvis? Is he a zombie that just looks like Elvis?
I don't know.
Why doesn't he have makeup on his neck? Did he just give up? And then when Grandma Aggie's like, let's go for a fly, it's just the worst fucking blue screen.
Oh, come on.
It's just so bad.
Come on. It's iconic. It's on.
It's iconic. It's on the Great Movie Ride.
No, it's not.
R.I.P.
It didn't. R.I.P.
R.I.P.
It didn't make it into that.
It looks like trash.
Yeah.
Jen.
It doesn't. It does. But whatever. That's how flying is in Halloween Town.
It looks... In Halloween Town, honey, flying looks like bad blue screen.
I can't help how magic works.
It looks like the room for that moment. So, I think we run into Luke again. And Luke, like, hits on Marnie. And Marnie's like, mm-mm, go fuck yourself or whatever.
Yeah.
Something like that.
That's exactly what happens.
Who refers to him as the big cheese? Either he refers to himself as the big cheese.
He says I'm kind of the big cheese around here.
Right.
And she's like, I thought I smelled something stinky. Yeah. It must have been the big cheese.
Yeah. Yeah. Fuck you. Like I said. And that's sort of an allusion to the fact that he's like a mouse, or he turns into a mouse.
Are we watching the same movie?
Isn't there a mouse involved? Oh, no. In the end, we see he looks ugly. Doesn't he kind of look mouse-like at the end?
Well, he's got a big old nose.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
You were thinking of witches. The witches.
And, I probably was. And Luke, when Luke gets turned down by Marnie, he immediately is like, I know powerful creatures in high places.
Yeah.
So we know that he's working for the fucking bad guy.
Yeah.
So now, mom shows up.
Yeah.
Bummer.
Poops on all the fun.
And mom's like, bruh, you're grounded, Marnie.
Mm-hmm.
And Marnie's like, no.
Yeah. Yeah. And then she's like, no, I'm going to stay here and train with grandma. That doesn't happen.
No. Mom's like, we are going to get on fucking bus and we're going to go back to Earth. Is Halloween Town on Earth? Is it a different dimension?
I don't know.
Okay. So
it's a different world. I don't know what that
is. Is it a whole world?
I don't know what that means.
It looks like it's four blocks.
They go through a portal. So like, where does a portal go?
I don't know. So meet the guy who runs the bus station. He's got two heads.
Yeah.
He's two guys.
Yeah.
It's really just two comedians in one costume yelling at each other.
Yep. Yep. Also, the mom, like, explains her reason for making them be human, and it's just that they were born in the mortal world.
Cool. So.
Cool.
It's weird.
The bus guys are fighting, and then they find out that the bus isn't running, which I don't know if it actually isn't, or if they were just tired of her mom being there, because they just kind of say it. They're like, it's an hour.
Yeah, it's broken down. Yeah. But then mom's like, hey, I used to hook up with Calabar. Maybe I could pull some strings here.
She doesn't know he's the mayor, though. She finds that out.
We go to Calabar's office. Calabar's secretary, she's one of these weird things.
Yeah.
She's like a pincushion. Yeah. Is she dressed as a pincushion? Is she a living pincushion? What does this have to do with Halloween?
I think she's a pincushion. I guess it's just a place for abnormal.
Am I supposed to read that Freudianly? Like she is a pin. He is constantly penetrating her because she is his sub. No. You don't want to do a Freudian read on
Halloween Town? I mean, I guess so.
It's weird. No, it's just weird because it's like, what are you?
Who are you?
Why?
She says someone. I forget who she said called. She's like, they're on pins and needles.
Oh, yeah. Of course. Everyone has to make puns about the thing that they are.
Yeah.
So
then Marnie follows Aggie. So.
Well, now Aggie gets herself caught in like the fucking stupidest trap ever.
Right.
Like a dumb witch. Luke comes up to Aggie and he's like, oh.
The shadow creature wants the talisman.
Yeah. And she's like, never. and he's like, come here and I'll show you, or like whatever. She just walks right into a trap.
Yeah, she goes into the movie theater, has been closed.
Right, and there are like all the people that are missing are frozen there.
Yeah,
but they don't all have fucked up faces like Harriet. So what happened to Harriet's face?
No, maybe he was like using her for his bidding.
Maybe.
And that's why she was
weird that it's in a theater, too.
Because it needs to be dark. The shadow creature doesn't like the light. And movie theaters are all dark.
Okay. And he comes out of a portal, like, where the movie screen would be.
Right. Which is terrifying.
Yeah, he's pretty scary. He does... I'm not lying when I say he looks like Palpatine.
Right.
He's pretty scary looking.
Did you hear at the beginning when she was saying the kind of movies that they show there?
No.
She said it's a wonderful death. It's fun.
Okay. Marnie's like, okay, I get it. All right.
Yeah.
Halloween puns, is that it?
So they go into the theater And then Gwen also follows her in. And the shadow creature's there, and he wants a talisman.
Right, it's Merlin's talisman, by the way.
Oh, right,
Merlin's
right.
talisman, yeah. He yeah. wants it, I guess, because he can control...
For the power, yeah.
Does he say his plan yet at this point? We learned that his plan is very close to Voldemort's.
Right,
where he
he doesn't. He doesn't say until the very end.
Right, in the very end, he says, like, he wants to take over the human world.
Right, like, they shouldn't...
They're beneath us.
Yeah, they shouldn't be in hiding
right.
from the human world.
He's goddamn right. so again, full Palpatine, he starts like throwing lightning balls.
Yeah, yeah. And he
at Aggie.
He hits Gwen
yeah.
by mistake.
And she freezes.
Right. And then that
Gwen's the mom.
Yeah.
So she freezes.
And then I guess that surprises Aggie, so she's still for a minute and he can finally get her.
Yeah. So so now the kids are on their own because grandma and mom are frozen.
And this is when they find out that the creature can't stand the light because they open the door to leave the movie theater. And he's like, rah, right. you know.
And I would bet anything that the whole reason this happens is because Debra Reynolds was like, you got me for 4 days. That's it.
Yeah.
You want me to not be in the middle of the movie? You want me at the end of the movie? Then I can't be in the middle of the movie.
Yeah, but then she has to trade that off by holding her hand up for like 5 hours.
Right. Well, she actually does a good job being still.
Yeah, she does. So the kids go and find fresh ingredients. So they go to...
Oh, this whole sequence.
They go to a hairdresser, a hair
salon.
Who's
the werewolf.
Right, because the werewolf owns the salon.
Of course.
And they shave the back of his head to get the hair from him. Well, first they distract him with like a fire blow dryer, which I don't know who uses that, but sure.
Right. We should also say that he does like an Austin Powers
yeah.
impression because it's the 90s.
Yeah.
He says, yeah, baby.
Which also doesn't work because
for
he's
a hairdresser?
Like, oh, no, but he's like, this could be a good look for me. But it's,
oh, right.
They
it's stupid.
Shave the very back of his head where he can't see it in the mirror.
Right. Well, he's distracted. Right. I think the boy shaves
yeah.
his head
yeah.
to get the hair.
Yeah.
And he can't see the back of his right, head, but right. it looks stupid. And he's like, this could be a good look for me.
Right.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, it's cringy.
It's super cringy.
And then they go to a fitness center, and they see a ghost going into like a
fat
sweat
ghost
box.
Going into
yeah,
like a 1920s style, like, sit in its sweat box.
Yeah.
To like, because I don't know what they thought that actually did. All it does is dehydrate you.
Yeah.
Not
for ghosts. He came out.
He came out another
super
actor
slim.
That was skinny. Came out a skinny actor.
And tall.
Right.
And they kept...
Because they need his sweat. Gross.
A literal drop. Which I don't know how you even pour that into a cauldron, but...
Right.
Okay.
And
then they go to a dentist, who's the tooth fairy.
Right.
And he's taking out an infected fang from a vampire.
Right.
So I guess Marnie pretends to be the nurse.
the dentist looks gross. Some of the makeup just looks gross.
Yeah, no, yeah, I don't like his.
She pretends to be a hygienist?
She's like dressed up with like a mask and scrubs.
Maybe I was coming in and out of sleep.
All right.
When I was watching this.
And
I've seen this twice.
Yeah.
Both times with you.
Yep. Yep.
Okay, so they get the three ingredients to make the witch's brew so they could, I don't know, make Merlin's talisman work so they can do the thing to the thing.
Right. So as they're coming out and they have all the ingredients, Benny shows up and he's like trying to give them a ride home.
All right, but now he's clearly
Sophie.
Evil.
Yeah, Sophie realizes he's infected with the bad thing.
Right. He's no longer a good
yeah.
skeleton puppet. So now he's a bad skeleton puppet.
They can't trust anyone.
Yeah.
So then they go back to Grandma Aggie's house and Marnie makes the brew, but she can't remember the spell.
Right.
Which, like, Sophie remembers.
Right.
Because she makes it into a song.
Yes. I haven't seen the sequels yet. I don't know if they pick up on this in the sequels, but it's sort of implied a lot in this movie that Sophie's, like, way more powerful. She's, like, the baby Yoda
yeah.
of the group. Like, she seems stronger than the others.
But it's just, like, younger. Because Marnie's training should have been done already.
So she's like losing it.
Yeah.
If you don't use it, you lose it.
Yeah. Sad.
Okay.
So then they do the spell together because Grandma Aggie told them that spells are always stronger with more than one witch.
You bet. We're kind of at the end already, right?
Yeah, we're almost there.
Doesn't Calabar reveal himself to be the shadow creature at this point?
Yeah, they try to, like, they have the talisman, so they try to, like, take it to install it in the pumpkin.
Right.
Because mortal see, mortal do.
Yeah.
So that's how they figure it out. And then they see the shadow creature, and they pull, like, a switcheroo to make sure that Marnie doesn't get hurt.
They pull the old switcheroo, where he thinks Luke. It's Marnie, but it's actually Luke.
Yeah, in Marnie's robe. Yeah, she grabs Grandma Aggie's robe.
So Luke has turned good, right?
At this point? Yeah, because he says something. Maybe he didn't say it yet. He goes to, like, warn them.
Right.
That this is happening, because we find out that he really wasn't that bad.
Right, he was being Grandma used Aggie, by Calabar.
Yeah, Grandma Aggie gets hit, and Luke's like, you said you wouldn't hurt them.
Right,
thought he was just going to scare them. Right. That's why he went along with it.
Yeah.
So we already knew that he was kind of good.
Yeah.
So then Marnie, like, gets there, and she reaches the top of the pumpkin, and, like, her arm is dangling in the pumpkin with the talisman, and she gets hit.
Right, yes.
Which I believe is when Calabar goes on his whole spiel.
Yeah.
About how Halloween Town residents shouldn't have to hide. And then he shows himself.
The humans on Calabar. Earth, they don't send their best. They're rapists, they're murderers. Some, I'm sure, are good people.
Yeah.
At some point, Marnie's like, remembers that all you have to do is want something, then let yourself have it.
Yeah, well,
she's passing out. That's how magic works.
Well, yeah. She's going in and out of consciousness.
Yeah. We also... Yeah, go on.
No, I was going to say, and then Grandma Aggie and the mom wake up because the talisman's in the pumpkin.
Yes.
And apparently, like, all of this is coming from the fact that Calabar was jealous.
Yeah, yeah.
That Gwen married a human.
Yeah.
And it's like...
Yeah, he wanted to take over the world because he was jealous that some human guy dated his ex-girlfriend.
From a 2 to a 10. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
That wasn't necessary. That wasn't an appropriate response.
No.
To your girlfriend getting toxic. Married.
Very toxic. To someone else. And now all the, to defeat him, all of the Cromwells hold hands and...
Even Dylan,
which I like. Yeah, they're like, hey, come on.
Coming out of his fingertips.
Yeah. And mom, this is a big turn for mom. Mom uses magic.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they defeat Calabar.
Uh-huh.
We see that Luke is like the goblin thing or whatever. Yeah,
because he got hit. Now he's a little goblin.
And he's like, oh, I'm ugly.
Yeah.
And he's sad.
Like, yeah.
Because he likes her.
Yeah. Yep. He does.
Luke becomes the bus driver for some reason.
They're like,
get your ugly ass in the bus. You drive the bus now, kid.
It's not even a bus driver, because the bus driver's helping the people on the bus. He's like a fucking bell ringer, like Quasimodo. That's all he does. He rings a bell.
I mean, with a face like that. Come on.
Not even a big bell.
Even for Halloween Town, he's ugly.
Stop it. Stop.
And then what happens? Grandma goes back with them.
Yeah, the bus flies away, and that's basically how it ends. But then, now she's stuck with them for a whole year.
I guess.
What if she hates it?
But now, but mom has now accepted magic, and I guess Marnie can train now.
Yeah, she's like, I'm going to finish Marnie's training, which, like, then why do you even need to go home?
I want to see, like, the scenes with, like, Grandma Aggie, like, in a little blue pouch on Marnie's back, like in Dagobah.
Yep. This is happening.
Is Calabar stronger than the light side? No, not stronger.
Yeah. And that's Halloween Town.
What if you found out Carrie Fisher, like, ghost wrote this whole movie? That'd be such a bummer.
Why?
Because it's not great.
It's a great movie.
So that's Halloween Town. What? No, is the, what's the name of the actress who plays Marnie?
Kimberly J. Brown.
Is she in part two?
Yeah, she's in 2 and 3, and then she's in Quince, which isn't Halloween Town, but it's another DCOM.
All right, so that doesn't matter.
All right.
What is the one she's not in?
4. I forget the...
She's in the high one, right? Wait, which is on. The last one. So wait. She's not like... She leaves and comes back.
No, wait. Hold your horses.
All right.
Wait, let me look it up, because now I don't know. Hang on. We're going to the source. We're going to Disney Plus.
Go to IMDb.
Don't tell me how to live.
All right.
There's Halloween Town. There's Halloween Town 2. There's Halloween Town High. And then there's Return to Halloween Town. That's the one she's not in.
So she's not in the very last one.
Right. She's in Halloween Town 2, which was in 2001. Halloween Town High, which is in 2004. And then in 2006.
And I know from her TikTok that she doesn't know why she's not in that one. She's just like, they didn't ask me.
I know. Trash.
Which is bullshit.
Halloween Town was filmed in St. Helens, Oregon.
Hold on.
Oregon.
The world is ending outside my window. Muggles. Well, where was it filmed?
St. Helens, Oregon.
So I guess you can go there for Halloween.
And she used to go. I mean.
Debbie?
No. Kimberly J. Brown.
Why doesn't she still? Spooky.
Because, well, I don't know. Because she has a life.
As I like to ask you at the end of these episodes, looking back as a grown-ass woman, how would you rank this? On a scale of 1 to 10 giant Halloween Town pumpkins.
It's got to be a 10.
Whoa.
It's got to be a 10.
So it's better than Xenon?
Well,
I don't remember what you... I don't remember... Did you just say 10 for all of these?
No. No, because I don't love Smart House. I don't think I give that a 10.
Yeah. Okay. So this is a 10.
Yeah. It's so good. It's so good.
It holds up in your mind.
Yeah.
Well, this has been DCOM 101 / PCMC Halloween 2020.
/ Ichabod and Mr. Toad.
/ Jen Luttrell, thank you for being my guest.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. Thank you for bringing another DCOM. And to you guys listening, thank you for listening. And thank you for listening all month long. This is the end of our Halloween for 2020. But, you know, there's always next year. You can still listen to PCMC when we go back to non-Halloween specials. We come out every Wednesday, and we are available anywhere podcasts are found. And hey, if you really like hearing my voice, I've got a new podcast coming out called Cuckoo Bananas, where me and my co-host Kate Gainey talk about wellness and mental health and PTSD and depression and all that fun jazz. So that's Cuckoo Bananas, also available everywhere podcasts can be found. Jen, do you want to plug your blog?
It's not even live yet.
Well, you're starting a blog.
I am. It's called Magically Winded.
Why is it called that?
Because I have several different lung diseases, and I like going to the parks, even though my lungs don't. So,
for those who aren't in the Disney know, when she says the parks, she means right. The Disney.
I'm sorry.
Parks.
I've never ever gone to a regular park.
No, God no. God no. So it's like your love of Disney.
Yes.
Combined with your
the struggle.
Crappy lungs.
Yep. The struggle.
So it's Magically Winded.
Yep. It's going to be very exciting.
And Jen Luttrell, what's your Instagram handle?
Magically_Jen.
All right. Everybody, we end episode by saying
go bye bye.
Ooh.